Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your word, the way that it guides us and corrects us and enlightens us, and the way that you live through it. May your living word speak to us now. Amen. Every time I read this Christmas story, it starts out with the census, where, well, their purpose was to get more taxes out of the people. Okay. But only God can bring good out of more taxes, okay? He used that event. He used that event to bring them to Bethlehem so that prophecy could be fulfilled. And that's our God. He can bring good out of anything. But this sermon is supposed to be light, about light, not taxes. So let me just shift gears and get on the right lane here, huh? Okay, so light. As a physicist, I think of light, okay, it's a type of energy. Electromagnetic radiation, to be specific. With a frequency or wavelength between 400 and 700 nanometers. That's the way my brain goes when I hear the word light. Your brain may go other ways. Okay. But the Bible also talks about light. It mentions it over 260 times in various different forms and for different purposes. And it has a very different take on light, of course. The light I'm thinking of, again, is a form of energy, and it can be created by fire, by electricity, through chemical reactions, bioluminescence, nuclear reactions, that's what's happening with our sun, it's giving us light, and other forms of radiation as well. It's bombarding us with x-rays and gamma radiation, all kinds of things. But anyway, I got to back out of the physics and get back into the scripture. All right, I get sort of fired up when I start talking physics, you know, but that's just me. Okay, after decades of teaching it, I sort of miss it when I get the chance. Like, I want to start deriving equations here. Alrighty. So the scriptures speak of this light, and it is a light, but it's the light to guide us, a light to comfort us, a light to lead us. You know, God led his people through the wilderness with a pillar of fire by night, right? So the light is meant to lead us, and it's meant to, well, I guess, enlighten us, you know, pun intended or not intended, take your choice. But we heard about it in Isaiah today. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Living in the dark. That would be, Yeah, that would not be happy. It would not be joyful to be living in some deep cave or in the depths of the sea, not to experience light. Maybe not to even know light exists. Think about these creatures, these anglerfish and things, is way down the Mariana Trench or wherever. Do they even know light exists? And some people, do they know light exists? There's a lot of people living in darkness out there. And, you know, some of us have in our past lived in darkness of one form or another. But a lot of people maybe don't have that hope. They don't know about the light. And it's part of our job as Christians to bring that light to others, of course. And if they don't know about light, then they don't even realize they're in the dark. And again, people living around us without hope, without the knowledge of Christ, living in the darkness, unaware of what's possible, unaware of what's available to all of us if we'll just believe. But how can they believe if they haven't heard? Again, they must hear about this. And that's part of our job. Because God wants to use us to spread this gospel, to bring people hope, to bring the light to them, so they will have something to guide them in this personal relationship with Christ, who is the light of the world. And then the light can live within them, and all kinds of good things happen. So if people are living in darkness, our God is in the business of dispelling darkness. Because light does dispel darkness. You can have a dark room, a dark cave, whatever, but even a small light, just a match or something like that, the darkness cannot exist where there is light. The darkness is dispelled. And that's pretty cool. Now, God's light is more than a small match. It's a big light, okay? This light of the world, it's huge. And it's going to dispel all the darkness. The darkness must flee where there is light. And we had heard about that with the shepherds today. We heard that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Yeah, they've been out there for many nights. They've experienced this. They got a little light from the stars and the moon. That's about it. Maybe a campfire to keep them warm, provide a little bit of light. But to have a light suddenly appear, where does this light come from, and where? What is it? This is totally unusual for them. We can create light in many ways today. You know, we can use electricity, create lights and all kinds of big spotlights, searchlights, everything like that, LEDs, whatever. They only had fire, stars, and moon. That was the only lights they knew, basically. And then this special kind of light showing around them. And I mean, it's a big wake-up call. They just go, whoa, what is this? And an angel telling him, do not fear. They had the natural human response to something they could not understand. They didn't understand this light. So yes, they were terrified, but the angel said, do not fear. I have come to bring you great news of the Savior himself being born, the Messiah. People have been waiting throughout the whole Old Testament for the coming of the Messiah. Lots of people had hoped it would come in their lifetime, but he didn't. It wasn't until these shepherds were told that the Messiah was coming. The first to hear it, out of the millions of people that had waited for this, had looked for the signs, had wanted this to happen. And here we have some shepherds out in the middle of nowhere getting this incredible news. You know, God's got his way of doing things rather than just announcing it to the entire world. He just picked out these shepherds for some crazy reason, some common people. And that's our God. And they came into the world as a common person, as a humble baby. Wow. So the light of the world had come to this small town of Bethlehem, little backwater town in the middle of nowhere. The light of the world had come. This light who is Jesus, who would later say, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. No ordinary light. Jesus, the light of life, the light of the world. And we get to have that light when we believe. If we believe in him, the Holy Spirit's going to dwell within us, and we're going to recognize that light. We're going to walk in that light. We're going to bring that light to others. We're going to be wanting to live in the light. And who wouldn't want to live in the light? But yet people choose many times to live in darkness. Huh? Why would that be? Well, we read about it in John 3. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Yeah, a lot of times when people are out there committing some form of sin, it's usually in the darkness, huh? If someone's going out to rob someone or steal someone, they're going to use the darkness to do it. Many times people are also doing other things out in the dark, and usually they're not good things. You know, if we have one of our sons is a policeman, and when he's out there patrolling at night, when he comes across people, a lot of times they are up to no good. Now, some are just going to work in the dark and stuff like that. Yeah, that's great. Or they couldn't sleep. They went out for a walk. Hey, that's fine. But no, oh, that's sort of human nature to try to hide something that we're doing that we know is not right. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting us and we're trying to hide it, we should realize that, okay, is this something God wants me to be doing or not? Is this something that honors God or not? Because we have that Spirit within us who's going to show us right from wrong, who's going to convict us and direct us if we're willing to be led. And when the light comes on again, that darkness is when the light comes on, the darkness is scattered once again. I think of it as, you know, these demons as little cockroaches, and you turn on the kitchen light, and all of a sudden, you know, they just hit. They're gone, right? Not our kitchen doesn't have cockroaches, okay. But if you live down south, as I have before in Georgia and Florida, and that it happens. You walk in the middle of the night into the kitchen, you turn on the light, you just, okay. And that's what's happening. These demons cannot live where there is light. The light of Christ, they can't handle it. They can't stand it. And if you're trying to help someone with some demonic temptations or something like that, just speak that name of Jesus, and the demons will flee at his name. It is powerful. He is powerful. His light and his presence are powerful. And whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that they have what they have done has been done in the sight of God. If we're doing things in the light, we're not trying to hide them, right? Yeah. And as Christians, we have nothing to hide. If we're doing something that aligns with God's ways, there's no reason to do that in the dark, okay? That is to be done in the light for everybody to see and to give glory to God, not us, but to God, to live as children of the light. Again, having nothing to hide, and we definitely should not hide our faith. We should be living boldly as Christians. Living boldly as Christians. Living out our faith. Showing people what it can be like. Showing them the light. Bringing others to that light. Because God has brought us to this light. He's just shown us the way. Partly through his word. His word then is a lamp for my feet and a light in my path. If we're stumbling down a dark path, it's great to have a light. I've been out in the woods at night a bunch when I was in the Army and had to do night land nav where we had to find different points in the woods without a flashlight. It can be done, but it'd be a whole lot easier if you had the light. It'd be a lot less stumbling. And God does give us the light, and he gives it through his word as a part of it too. Of course, Jesus is the light of the world, but his word is a lamp for our feet and a light unto our path so that we can see where we're going. He will reveal obstacles to us. He will show us the true way, the right path to be on, because there's many paths to choose from in life. And broad is the way, of course, that leads to destruction. And narrow is the path that leads to life. And his light is going to direct us onto that path, going to keep us on that path. Not always an easy path, but he is there with us, and he walks that path with us, because he is a personal light to us. A personal light. As it says in Psalm 18, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." It doesn't say our God, it says my God, my darkness. Yeah, as a collective people, of course, we walk through darkness, but individually, he is a personal God, a God who wants relationship with us as an individual. That's one of the reasons he came to earth, right? To have better relationship with humans, to experience what it's like to be a human so that he knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to feel joy. He knows what it's like to weep at the death of a friend. God couldn't have really understood that. Although he's all-powerful, his view from on high, he sees everything, but has he experienced the emotions of being a human? Through Jesus coming to earth, yes, he has. He knows what it's like. He's walked that path, and he walks it with us. His light also dispels our darkness. Ephesians 5:8, "For you who were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." Again, maybe you've gone through dark times in your life. We all have, in various ways, shapes, or forms. It's different for everybody. These dark times when you're further from the light, right? But then when we come to God, He is the light and gives us the ability to live as children of the light, to live in that light and to bring that light to others, to bring hope to others, to bring His presence to others, to be a light unto the world. That's what He says in Matthew 5, our last reading here. You are the light of the world. You. That means each of us, you. You are the light of the world. Wow, isn't that supposed to be Jesus? Yeah, but us also, we are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. We shouldn't hide the light of Jesus, right? It's supposed to be available for all to see. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house, giving light to others, giving hope to others, bringing them the presence of God. In the same way, let your light shine before others. This light, and it's not about us, it's this light that Jesus has lit, the Holy Spirit has lit in us. He set us on fire, and our lives should be a testimony to Him and His glory and His goodness. He should shine through our lives, His light through us. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That the glory would go to God, not to us. We're just living out our Christian lives out of thanksgiving for what He's done for us. For He has made a way by which we can be saved. We cannot be good enough on our own. There is no way. We cannot live a perfect life. We are stained by sin. But Jesus took that on Himself, making us white as snow, making us worthy to be in the presence of God, giving us righteousness, His righteousness, not our own. So all glory to Him. As we go out there and reflect His light, be a light unto this world. Amen.